It's Sean McCord. It's day two of the Virginia Film Festival in lovely downtown Charlottesville at the Filmmakers Lounge. I'm sitting across from Jeff Price, the director of Lowdown, which screens tonight at 6:45 p.m. That's Friday night in the UVA's Colbert Theater. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, great to be here.
Thanks for being here. So the film Lowdown, this is from a memoir.
Mm-hmm. Right.
By
Amy Albany.
It's Amy Jo Albany.
AJ Albany.
Okay. And
a few aliases.
And in the film, it looks like her character, played by Dakota Fanning, they call her Jo.
By L.
Fanning.
No worries. Right. She plays Amy Jo. Yeah. And it's funny, the name keeps changing even in the film.
In the film it does.
It's one of the running things of the film, is that her dad's always calling her by a slightly different name or nickname, or depending upon the mood or occasion, a different way of referring to Amy or Amy Jo is appropriate.
Okay, well let's do that. Let's talk a bit about the film, and then I want to talk about you as a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. So the film is from a memoir by Amy Jo Albany, and it's her story of growing up and sort of her memories of her father. Well, you tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the memoir actually came after Amy and I met and started talking about her childhood in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
We met on a film set. She was a member of my crew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she was doing craft service. And I went over to the craft service table and I saw her, and she is a very formidable person. And
mm-hmm.
She's quite, you can tell there's a story behind her.
Yeah.
And she was listening to a cassette of the record Chet Baker Sings while she was working.
All right.
And now this is a record that actually changed my life.
Interesting.
I heard Chet Baker Sings, I immediately became an all-in Chet Baker fanatic. And then this obsession with Chet Baker and jazz in general, but now, you know, Chet Baker floating to the top, it led me to end up shooting a documentary on Chet, which we did almost 25 years ago, or over 25 years ago, called Let's Get Lost, which
mm-hmm.
Bruce Weber directed.
Sure.
And I was the cinematographer. And that film launched my career in the marketplace of filmmaking. Up until that time, I was making little experimental, silent 8mm films that told no story. They were really films about filming.
Right.
And it was that Chet Baker record led to this career that was quite busy. So busy, I could barely fit an experimental film in between the cracks. And so I mentioned to Amy, Chet Baker, I knew him a little bit. And Amy said something like, I don't care. I knew him too. I thought, whoa. And I asked her, how did you know Chet? And she said, well, my dad played with him. I asked her who her dad was. And she said, I doubt you've ever heard of him. And, you know, and see why we should continue talking.
Okay.
I said, please, just please say your dad's name. And she said, Jo Albany. And, you know, I was a Jo Albany fan.
How about that?
And I loved his music. And I'd seen him up at the West End Cafe. He was sort of a Friday night
uh-huh.
pianist there.
Uh-huh.
And I had his one record that came out in the 50s called The Right Combination, which is a truly beautiful record. And Amy was so taken aback, and she was very apologetic, and she said, it's so unique and rare to find a non-musician that knows my dad.
Interesting.
And then I was in a front row seat to hear her stories of growing up, and I couldn't get enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole conversation, she started writing me letters with more stories. I'd beg her for more stories. I went back to New York. She lives in L.A. She started sending me these letters. And this stack of letters suddenly looked very much like a manuscript. And that became the memoir.
So that became the memoir. And did you have in mind all along that you'd like to make this film?
Actually, in many ways, the opposite. I wanted to do a film with Amy where she just told stories to a tape recorder. We would drive around Los Angeles, and she would just be inspired by the Los Angeles landscape
uh-huh.
to discover new stories in her memory. This was my idea. I have a Bolex, which is a wind-up 16mm camera.
Right.
I thought I could film her. I could film Los Angeles. And she was very camera shy and very mic shy.
Mm.
So it didn't work out. And instead, she wrote this beautiful book. then the book was optioned. It came out. It was optioned days later.
Oh, okay.
By Albert Berger and Ron Yurtse.
Right.
Of Bonafide.
Right.
Two very formidable, great producers. And Amy called me and said, you know, you should talk to them. Amy, you know, I haven't made a feature film.
You're really an experimental filmmaker, right?
They really have to first ask Clint Eastwood before they ask me. And let's just let it run its course, because you want the film to be made, and I won't guarantee that. And after about a year and a half, no one wanted to take the risk and do a movie about jazz and drug abuse. It's not a very wise business venture. and I was the last man standing, but we were able to then do it as a true labor of love.
Yeah, yeah. And what an amazing cast. I mean, Elle Fanning, thank you for getting your name right. John Hawkes, who's one of those actors that, you know, it might not be a household name, but when people see him, they go, oh, that guy.
Right.
I love that guy.
Right, and the other thing they say, I hear it again and again, I can imagine no one else playing that part.
Yeah.
Which to me means a total success in playing the part.
Yeah, he's perfect. And Glenn Close and Lena Headey and Peter Dinklage. You got Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, we got everyone we dreamt of.
Yeah.
And this is a testament to the screenplay. It's beautiful work. And it was a collaboration between Amy and Topper Lillian.
Mm-hmm.
And actors saw the psychological depth of every character and just painted on the page so simply without ever trying too hard. And I think every actor saw it was an opportunity to bring their best work out. And because every actor said yes.
That's amazing.
And they all did it for scale. And they all brought their best game.
Of course. And these people, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I just got to stand there and be a witness to great art in the making before me.
Well, so let's talk about transitioning from an experimental filmmaker to, I mean, you said you still consider this an experimental film. Did you change your approach as a director?
Well, you know, and I don't want to scare anyone off with this thing that seems very elitist, experimental film. I think people get frightened. It's very challenging. When I talk about the films that I make in my practice as an experimental filmmaker, I mean films that are principally about filming.
Right.
And I find filming itself so beautiful, so interesting. And I try to film every day. So the process of filming every day ends up producing a film now and then. And these, I've been so fortunate to show them in beautiful and prestigious venues and museums and so forth and so on. But my career is as a cinematographer.
Okay.
My being so enraptured with filming kind of gave me a trade. So I come really out of cinematography, and I believe that the story is best told through cinematography.
I'm talking to... excuse me. Jeff Price, director of Lowdown, which screens tonight at Friday, 6:45 p.m. at Colbert Theater. Who was your cinematographer on this film?
Oh, really beautiful cinematographer named Christopher Blauvelt.
And have you worked together before?
No. And being a cinematographer myself, I'm actually a little bit of a challenge at times for other cinematographers to work for.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
And I knew I needed someone that I was going to more or less fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know anyone I thought was good enough. I met with a lot of guys. And, of course, good enough and available, good enough.
Right.
And willing to do it for virtually no money. So it ruled out there are many wonderful cinematographers, but they weren't within reach. And I knew Chris's work. He came up through the camera department of a very close friend of mine, Harris Savitas,
who
is, I think, the great cinematographer my generation produced. I think all filmmakers of my generation are so proud that we produced Harris and his work with Gus Van Sant and Fincher and on. And Chris actually, Harris got very sick a few years ago and during the shooting of the film The Bling Ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris was... coming up DP, but out of Harris's department. And Harris passed the torch to Chris during the production of that film. And Chris finished that film and did beautifully. And he shot also a film for Kelly Reichardt called Meek's Cutoff, which is a beautiful-looking film. And I knew Chris was a strong candidate, but I hadn't met him. And he was West, and I was East, and we had to arrange something silly on Skype.
Right.
But I looked at him on the screen, and I could see right away how caring he was, how genuine he was, how kind he was, how lovely he was as a man. And it took me no more than a second to know that I wanted to work with him.
Nice.
And working together, I can only say love. It's falling in love. It's that sense of becoming one with another person.
Absolutely, that kind of supreme collaboration.
And that's a privilege that directors get to have with their cinematographers, it's a great privilege.
So the film Lowdown screens tonight, 6:45 p.m. in Colbert. This takes place in Los Angeles in what, the 1960s?
In the 70s.
70s.
Yeah.
Okay. And where did you shoot it?
We shot it in. We tried to shoot it as close as we possibly could to where the events took place.
Mm-hmm.
We found a kind of abandoned hotel that we moved into mm-hmm. to be the principal set. And that was not exactly Hollywood, but it was close, and it was an amazing and haunted location. I was so convinced that the building was haunted, I thought if I Googled it, I bet the first thing that comes up is that it's haunted.
Right.
So I Googled it, and the first thing that came up was that the Black Dahlia murderer died there.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Oh, wow.
So...
Yeah.
Enough said.
Yeah.
And then the second principal location was very hard to find because the story is told through specific sight lines, and they're all in the screenplay in a way where the architecture needed to match.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how hard that was going to be. And we looked and we looked and we looked and started to sweat the clock. And then right at the last minute, we found the perfect place, and it turned out to be where Amy really lived.
Really?
Yeah, so we shot in the building where the story actually took place.
Very nice. Tell me about the soundtrack for the film.
Well, it's based on the life of Amy's dad, mm-hmm. great jazz pianist, very little known, mm-hmm. great jazz pianist, Joe Albany. And so music is a very important part of the film, and you see John Hawkes embody Joe as a pianist. And every single time you see John performing in a way where he's doing a complete performance of a song, it's actually a historic Joe Albany recording that John
nice.
Has mastered.
Nice.
Because we never use a hand double.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't do any tricks to produce the sense of him playing. And John had to actually use the techniques of an actor.
And is he a musician?
He is a guitarist.
Okay.
Not a pianist. So it was a rather astonishing accomplishment.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Oh, great.
The film is Lowdown. It screens 6:45 p.m. on Friday. That's tonight at UVA's Colbert Theater. We've been talking to Jeff Price. Jeff, thank you so much. We could... You could probably go on, but I promise it's only going to take a few minutes of your time.
Well, it's really a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
And, hey, you know, I hope we see you back here again.
Yeah. I have to be back.
All right, take care.